See you right after the international.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Chelsea will challenge Manchester City in the UEFA Champions League final on May 29th in Istanbul, Turkey. It marks the second time in three seasons that two English Premier League clubs will clash for European club football's greatest prize. The Blues of Chelsea advanced Wednesday with a 2-0 victory against visiting Real Madrid in London for a 3-1 aggregate triumph. Timo Werner and Mason Mount had the goals for Chelsea, which eliminated the Spanish club that has won a record 13 European titles. Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel says his team deserved to win.
On the sideline, you always worry because you know that you play on the edge with Real Madrid, can always score a goal. But again, we managed to have a clean sheet, and it was, again, well-deserved with a strong goalkeeper and guys who were really committed to defend. And we really wanted it badly, and that's the key.
Tuchel says Chelsea showed how much it wanted the victory with the attitude of his players on the pitch at Stamford Bridge.
What a spirit to show in moments where we needed to suffer in first half, and what a reaction in second half. The heads were never down, heads were always up, even after these big chances that we missed. Always stayed positive, and we never regret something. So job is not done yet. We are in final, we are in two finals now, the sacrifice I personally gave was worth it since day one.
Thomas Tuchel and the Blues of Chelsea now get ready to travel to Turkey to take on Man City in the UEFA Champions League final.
So yes, we will arrive with self-confidence and with a positive energy in Istanbul, and hopefully with everybody, no injured players. And we will arrive in Istanbul to win, not to be one of the participants. We want to arrive because we arrive to with a clear focus to win.
That's Thomas Tuchel, the manager of Chelsea Football Club, which will face Manchester City May 29th in the UEFA Champions League final. Tuchel is the first coach to reach back-to-back Champions League finals with different clubs. He was in charge of Paris Saint-Germain in the 2020 final. PSG lost to Bayern Munich 1-0, and PSG was eliminated by Man City 4-1 on aggregate in the semifinals of this year's tournament.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Tow, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
The South African Football Association has announced Hugo Bruce as the new head coach of its men's national team. The 69-year-old Belgian coach replaces Molefe Nseki, who was fired after South Africa failed to qualify for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. And speaking of Cameroon, Bruce previously led the indomitable Lions of Cameroon to the 2017 Nations Cup title in Gabon, where they came from behind to beat Egypt 2-1 in the final. Bruce signed a 5-year contract with South Africa. At the South African Football Association website, Bruce said, and I quote, "South Africa has a rich football history and is among the powerhouses on the continent. The country is full of quality, and I am coming to coach a true football nation with massive potential." And Bruce continues, "My main focus will be to weave in new players who have hunger and desire to achieve things." Bruce will also focus on qualifying South Africa for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. The opening group matches in Africa's World Cup qualifying competition were due to kick off in June. But World Football's governing body, FIFA, announced Thursday that Africa's qualifying campaign will now start in September because of the global coronavirus pandemic. FIFA adds the postponement will ensure optimal playing conditions for all teams. Several African countries are expected to use the time to upgrade their stadiums to an international standard that will allow them to host matches rather than play them outside their borders. FIFA says the African World Cup qualifiers will now take place in September, October, and November 2021, and March 2022. A total of 40 African teams are bidding for 5 places at the 2022 World Cup tournament in Qatar.
Voice of America.
Meanwhile, FIFA President Gianni Infantino and Patrice Motsepe, the new president of the Confederation of African Football, visited Liberia on Wednesday. Moses Garzio joins us now with more details from Monrovia, Liberia. Sporty greetings, Moses.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The FIFA delegation was busy on Wednesday visiting football facilities in the country's capital, Monrovia, and meeting football officials. FIFA President Gianni Infantino and CAF President Patrice Motsepe and the rest of the delegation also had discussions with Liberian President and former football star George Weah, but behind closed doors. Infantino hailed Mr. Weah and termed him as a man who made him and others fall in love with football.
The first one is to thank President George Weah for being who he is, to start with, for making all of us fall in love with football, and for leading now his country in such a fantastic way. We had the honor of meeting him today, and we're definitely going to work together.
In the last 2 years, FIFA has been helping the Liberian FA restructure its institutional capacity, supporting the construction of new facilities and empowering local clubs through its FIFA Forward 2.0 initiatives. Recently, the Liberian FA dedicated 3 new mini football stadiums constructed out of the funding from FIFA. Infantino said they are increasing support to member associations through the FIFA's Forward in order to produce quality results at all levels in football.
And this is the big difference compared to the past. We are not only increasing the investment, but we are requiring that the money is really invested in football. And this will create long-standing results. Now, the forward program that we have brought to life has 2 elements. One is project, so a pitch or the headquarters, and the other element is competitions. So we are requiring from the Liberian Football Association and every association all over the world that they have a men's league, a women's league, boys' leagues, women's, girls' leagues. So all these requirements have to be fulfilled in order for the money to be paid.
South African billionaire Dr. Patrice Motsepe, who was recently elected as president of the Confederation of African Football, disclosed that the growth of African football depends on the kind of leadership at FIFA.
We need this partnership. There's a lot that we can do, and there's a lot that we are doing, but there's a lot that we cannot do without committed, trustworthy leader at the level of FIFA. And we are most thankful, and we want to tell Gianni that, you know, we are most grateful. Keep up the work.
Motsepe also said the development of football infrastructures are not only the priorities of member countries, but also a task that should be undertaken by the Confederation of African Football.
It is not only the duty of the people in Liberia, it is the duty of CAF. The issues of
the stadium and what is required to get it to world-class standard is a commitment of both of us. Our job is to make sure that in Liberia and in other parts of the continent, that the conditions are world-class and we will succeed.
Mosipi rallied the private sector support to football, noting that monies from FIFA and CAF are not enough funding for the growth of football. He said this will help keep enterprising talents on the continent.
We want the private sector to succeed and to do well, and they must make money. And we say to them, you know, you'll make more money in Liberia and in other parts of Africa if you support football. Because if you support football, it shows that you are part of the challenges, but also the dreams. Because we have to pay our players more money. And we've got to make them understand that football can be a future. We also have to help the club owners.
But FIFA President Infantino said in order to maintain young and quality talents on the continent, there must be improved conditions for them.
We need to make sure that the conditions are there for the players to stay in Africa. For the conditions to be there, what do we need? We need infrastructure and we need competitions in order to be able to generate more money. Because if we go to the sponsors, to the brokers and tell them, give us more money, they tell us, yeah, why? What do you offer us to give you more money? Well, and we need to think. And we are here to help and to assist together. What can we offer more? What can we do better? How can we help? How can we improve?
Meanwhile, the president of the Liberia Football Association, Mustafa Raji, hailed the FIFA and CAF delegations for the countless assistance they continue to give Liberia. He also rallied the media and citizens' support in stimulating and attracting investment opportunities to Liberian football.
The visit is a great one. We've seen that the FIFA and CAF is here for us, is here for Liberia. We have to work as citizens of Liberia, as those that are passionate about football. We have to join hands as journalists to promote the game of football, to attract more people to invest. It's all about work. You can criticize. The criticism will make us stronger to do more for you. But we need your support.
The delegation is currently in Freetown, Sierra Leone, after an early stopover in Ivory Coast on Tuesday as guest of the football associations of the two countries. For the Sunny Silas Post, this is Moses Gazio in Monrovia.
Thanks, Moses.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
In this Olympic year, it's also worth remembering that Emmanuel Amuneke was a member of the Nigerian team that won the gold medal at the 1996 Atlanta Games. In fact, Emmanuel scored the game-winning goal in Nigeria's 3-2 victory against Argentina in the final of the Olympic men's football tournament. This evening, we bring you part two of Iron Mike Mbonye's interview with Luis Goncalves, the former head coach of Mozambique's men's national football team. The 49-year-old Portuguese tactician led the Mambas of Mozambique for less than 2 years. Iron Mike asked Goncalves, what does the future hold for you on the coaching front?
In my experience in the future, of course, now after I coach the Mozambique national team, after I know better the African football, of course, I will support more the young players, African players, to go to other clubs, to better competitions, to better life, I can say. I don't know my future right now. I'm free. I'm open to new projects, to new challenges. I don't know if I'm going to continue in Africa. I don't know if I'm going to continue in a club in Africa or national team, or I'm going to coach in Asia or Europe. I don't know. I don't know yet. But one thing I know for sure, I know better now the African football. I know better now African player, and I believe the African player, if he has the opportunity and he is well orientated, and if he is well integrated, he could be very, very, very good, like Cristiano Ronaldo or Messi, of course, because when we talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, they are different players, of course, but that's the model, of course, but I believe it's possible, because talent exists.
What's your assessment of the organization of the game amongst African teams?
Sometimes I see with the sadness that some persons that have responsibilities in the organizations, in clubs, in federations in Africa, sometimes they don't it seems they don't want to develop the players, they don't want to develop the football. A few, not all, of course, but that's the very important to create conditions to develop football in the countries, and after to, of course, to produce players, because African football deserves better.
Do you also think that the Confederation of African Football, or Africa, should have more than 5 slots in the World Cup?
I don't understand why CAF just have 5 vacancies, 5 positions to the World Cup. I think should have more, deserve more, for sure, because World Cup, only five nations, only 5 countries from Africa, it's not enough. But that's it. I hope the future could be better for African players in Europe or other points of the globe. And I'm sure in my next project I will look at African player. I will look at the African player, for sure.
That's Luis Goncalves, the former head coach of Mozambique's men's national football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lisbon, Portugal.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they will like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Thanks for that message, Catherine. Catherine Nanzari will be the first female boxer to represent Uganda at the Tokyo Olympics. In pro boxing, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez will fight Britain's Billy Joe Saunders Saturday night in a world super middleweight title unification bout near Dallas, Texas. Now, this fight appeared to be in jeopardy earlier in the week because of a dispute over the size of the boxing ring. But both fighters appeared at a promotional event Wednesday after Canelo agreed to the larger-sized ring. Canelo has a professional record of 58 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws. Saunders, the reigning WBO super middleweight champion, is unbeaten in 30 fights. Yawafusu Larbi joins us now from Accra, Ghana, with a report on one of the greatest African fighters ever. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
And there they are from Ghana, Africa, celebrating, rejoicing.
as Azuma Nelson retains his WBC Super Featherweight Championship.
Azuma Nelson is indisputably Ghana's greatest boxer of all time. A two-division world champion, the man nicknamed the Professor knew right from the start he would one day be a boxing world champion.
From the scratch, I know I'm going to be the best of the world.
Azuma was almost prophetic, not just in how his career would pan out, but he also had the knack of adequately predicting the rounds in which he would knock his opponents out.
I came in to knock him out in the first round. That's what I make my mind.
Bored of the competition at the featherweight division, Nelson moved up to the super featherweight, where he became champion in 1988, before going on to famously defending the title 9 times in a 6-year period.
I'm too bad, baby.
Azuma has a rich resume, going back his amateur years. He won gold for Ghana at the Africa Games in Nigeria in 1978, before following that up with another gold medal at the Commonwealth Games in Edmonton, Canada, just 1 month later. But for all the enormous success, Nelson's career is missing an Olympic gold medal.
My dream is to become Olympic gold medalist, the first Ghanaian to be the Olympic gold medalist.
With the 1980 Olympic Games around the corner, Nelson was overwhelming favorite to win a first Olympic gold medal for the country. Ghana had won 3 Olympic medals in boxing, but Nelson was the surest bet yet at winning the coveted Yellowstone.
This is my national flag. I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of Africa.
However, few months to the games in Russia, the United States, along with 66 ally countries, including Ghana, boycotted the games because of the Soviet-Afghan war, ultimately denying Azuma Nelson the chance to win an Olympic gold medal. 41 years have passed since Azuma's misfortune in 1980, and Ghana's dream of winning an Olympic gold medal remains just that, a dream. With just 3 months to the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games, only a few athletes, 3 of them boxers, have qualified for the multi-sport event. And with their talents nowhere near the levels of the Professor's prowess, it could be another 40 years before that dream becomes a reality. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
My name is Coach Ufori Asari, the head coach of the National Boxing Team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Paul Tergat had a memorable Olympic rivalry with his Ethiopian friend, Haile Gebrselassie, in the 10,000 meters finals at both the 1996 Atlanta Olympics and the 2000 Sydney Olympics. Paul was defeated by Haile by slim margins. So the record books show that Haile Gebrselassie is a 2-time Olympic champion and Paul Tergat is a 2-time Olympic silver medalist. Both Haile and Paul would move up to the marathon distance later in their running careers. And at one time, both were world record holders at the marathon distance. As part of preparations for this year's Olympic men's and women's marathons, organizers in Japan on Wednesday held the Sapporo Challenge Half Marathon. The World Athletics president is describing it as a successful test event. Joining us now with more is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Wednesday's half marathon is seen as a dress rehearsal for the main event at the Tokyo Games. And during a news conference held the same day, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe gave Olympic organizers high marks for staging a successful test event.
The organizing committee here not only demonstrated the ability to stage an event on the field of play, it also demonstrated the ability to deliver across other complexities, including, of course, the COVID-19 protocols.
The half marathon was held in Sapporo, a northern city of Japan that once played host to the Olympic Winter Games in 1972. Organizers concerned about the extreme heat in Tokyo relocated Olympic marathon events to Sapporo because of its cooler climate. But this year, the coronavirus pandemic has given those involved with the competition something else to worry about. As a precaution, six international athletes had to undergo stringent COVID-19 protocols before and after entering Japan, and all participants had their temperatures checked and answered a health questionnaire every day over a one-week period. In addition, spectators were not allowed at the venue, and Sebastian Coe says that is one safety measure he hopes will change before the start of the Olympic Games.
Everybody, of course, the athletes particularly, will hope for spectators, but I think they recognize that if that's not possible, then the games will still take place and the competition will still be extremely good. And of course, the athletes are now used to competing in stadia where there aren't any crowds.
With or without crowds in attendance, Olympic organizers are working to figure out how to stage the world's biggest sporting event safely, with nearly 15,000 athletes expected to compete.
The challenge between now and throughout those 79 days in the lead up to the opening of the games is to continue the recovery from COVID and to deliver an event that is safe for the athletes, safe for local communities, and certainly safe in the knowledge that legacy sits at the heart of any Olympic program. So it is important that the games are delivered successfully and they're delivered safely. And I know that each and every international sports federation are absolutely committed to adhering to the protocols and the processes with rigor, not just to protect themselves, but acutely conscious that we have a responsibility in our behavior to protect local communities as well.
The Sapporo Challenge was held despite an enforced state of emergency in major cities across Japan, and the pandemic continues to plague the Olympic torch relay that is currently underway. Eight people have been diagnosed with COVID-19 since the relay kicked off in March, and some celebrities who were scheduled to take part in the event have withdrawn, including the world's oldest living person, 118-year-old Kane Tanaka, who is recognized in the Guinness Book of World Records, was slated to take part in the torch relay next week, but has since backed out due to safety concerns. Daily COVID infections have remained high in cities, including Tokyo, with no signs of a decline. And on Thursday, the Japanese government announced plans to extend the current state of emergency that is set to end next Tuesday. An extension of 2 weeks to 1 month is under consideration. The Japanese Prime Minister is expected to finalize the decision on Friday. And that is all from me, Sunny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports birthday salute to Willie Mays, one of the greatest players in Major League Baseball history. Willie is celebrating his 90th birthday on this Thursday. Willie Mays was born in Alabama, and he spent almost all of his 22 seasons in Major League Baseball playing with the New York San Francisco Giants. And Willie Mays is certainly a giant in baseball. 660 career home runs, a .302 career batting average, more than 3,000 hits, plus a 12-time Gold Glove winner for his defensive excellence in the outfield. Happy 90th birthday, Willie Mays. And that wraps up the May 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.